Well, it's a beautiful day in Fairhope, Alabama for Senior Bowl Day 1, or Practice Day 1, I should say. The players have been arriving over the last 2 days. Coach Gus Bradley and his staff pulled into town yesterday. And so for the next hour or so, we're going to do some things and talk about some things that you won't find anywhere else. I'm Brian Sexton, along with Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher. And let's start with the obvious. This is a pretty important process for the Jaguars, who are entering year 3 of the rebuild.
Well, and it's something that everybody who watches us knows. They coached last year, and they felt like they got a great deal of benefit. And as we all know, you don't want to coach this game too many years in a row, because it means you're finishing 4-12 and 3-13. But if that happens, then this is a good benefit from it. And they got Telvin Smith last year. They got Aaron Coleman. They got Chris Smith.
Brandon Linder.
Brandon Linder, who's on the other team. So that was probably a little more of the scouts than the coaches, but got a good feel for these guys, and that's what you want to have happen this week. You never know. There may be guys they get around and say, you know what, we're glad we're not getting that guy. But the more information you get on these guys, the better, and this is very much an information gathering week. By the time they get out of here, they will feel like they have intimate knowledge of 50 or 60 more guys that they wouldn't have had they not coached the game.
All right, before we dive too far down the road here, let's talk about the news today that Gus Bradley has hired an assistant head coach and offensive line coach in Doug Marrone.
Right, and Doug Marrone, as most people know, head coach of the Bills the last 2 years, the head coach at Syracuse before that. He spent 3 years as an offensive coordinator under Sean Payton in New Orleans, 4 years as a Jets offensive line coach. So he's got experience. He's been the guy in charge. He's done the offensive line thing with the Jets. So this is a guy who sort of fits that bill of the older head in the room, who Gus can bounce things off of, and who has experience working with an offensive line. Good hire if that's what you were looking for. So that seems to be what they were looking for that spot. And they move on, haven't decided the coordinator yet, but Doug Marrone's the guy on the offensive line.
Well, and that was, in my mind, it was almost as critical as who the offensive coordinator was, because you've got Luke Jokel at left tackle.
Right.
And the two young guys in Linder and Bowanko, who you're going to count on, and your young right tackle, too, that you're still trying to develop. The offensive line position, after giving up 71 sacks last season, really needed somebody to come in and be the anchor.
And we said, and Gus said when this process first started, that he wasn't as concerned about getting this guy for that spot or preconceived notions as much as getting it right. And he said he tried to let the process come to him and eventually have a combination that worked. And I think once he started seeing Doug Marrone and talking to him, he thought, you know what, this guy who's got this level of experience, whoever we bring in as coordinator. And again, my understanding is Doug Marrone was interviewed for the offensive line job the whole way and not really considered for the coordinator job. So this is what Gus had in mind with Doug Marrone when he started talking to him.
Do you have a sense of the timeline for offensive coordinator? Is it imminent, or is it something that could still play out over time?
Well, you get the idea. And again, this is more reading tea leaves and following everything that's going on. Adam Gase, Greg Olson are the two names that have stayed hot during all this with the Jaguars. So you get the idea that it's those guys. Adam Gase interviewing in Baltimore, I believe, last night. So that's still up in the air. So
I think Bears have now requested permission for him also.
So you get the idea that Adam Gase is looking around and making sure he finds the best fit for him. So I would say no, there's not really a timeline, and that once he figures out what he's doing, then everybody's timeline will accelerate.
All right, so now the Jaguars go forward with the process of evaluating talent. And I know you have a list of guys that you're interested in. So as you look out on the field now, where do you focus?
Well, I think we'll get more into this when I believe Matt Miller from Bleacher Report is going to join us, draft guru. And he'll know a lot more about the depth of names. I think what I want to see, there's a handful of guys you look at as second and third round picks out of this, and you've got to figure that those are the guys the Jaguars are really focused in on. You're not going to get your number three overall pick here, most likely. And even if you trade back out of that, you're probably not looking at that level. So realistically, when they do go ahead and draft, they will probably draft two or three names, if they go as hard toward the Senior Bowl as they did last year, that we don't even talk about. But it's intriguing. T.J. Clemmings from Pitt, who it is in the other game, is a very intriguing right tackle prospect who's maybe down at the end of the first round, top of the second, can play right tackle. Guys like that would probably be the top end of what you would see here for the Jaguars, but most of it's going to be third, fourth, fifth round. In that respect, defensive end seems to be a position that's very deep here. Wide receiver's really deep here. I don't know that they're drafting depth at wide receiver this year, though, so who knows. But it seems to be a pretty good cornerback Senior Bowl, and it seems to be a pretty good linebacker Senior Bowl. So you would think top of the second round, top of the third, maybe you're looking at adding speed of linebacker. Could see that out of this game.
You know, Phil Savage yesterday, who directs this entire effort from Mobile's perspective, the longtime personnel man, was with Baltimore and Cleveland before that. He talked about 110 players here. He expects between 80 and 90 to get drafted. I mean, yes, this is not a place where you get guys who don't belong.
Well, and Phil's done a very good job of making this game. It was always pertinent, but he's made it very, very pertinent to where the scouts feel very comfortable with what they're seeing out here. And there aren't many guys getting missed that they don't know about through this process. So, yeah, there are certainly some guys who will probably go undrafted who are guys who sort of joined this process late. But Phil Savage goes around. He scouts. He does a good job of talking to people in the NFL. Hey, who do you want to see here? It's a game for the fans, but he's also made sure that, you know, the scouts get what they want out of this game. Very interesting. He said yesterday, too, they're altering the rules a little bit for this game. They're adding a two-minute warning at the end of the first and the third quarter, which obviously gets you into two-minute situations, which scouts and coaches love to see, quarterbacks especially, in situational football. So you're seeing that a little more. They're also allowing them to play nickel defense packages this year, as well as some cover two. So again, trying to get it as hands-on and as, you know, real-time, real situation as you possibly can. Makes sense. You wonder why they didn't do it before.
You know, for a team that's needs oriented in the draft, in other words, not one of the I'll take the best available player, and I think the league has really shifted to more of a needs-based philosophy anyway. How much are these guys in a spot, you know, on a team's draft board as they come to the Senior Bowl? And how much good can they do for themselves on a day like today? Or is it just in a very specific instance where there's a team looking at an offensive guard and they see a guard and they look specifically at him on this?
Well, the way it's always been explained to me, and I believe this from knowing how the process works, this, just like the combine, just like pro days, just like all the interviews, this is a piece of the puzzle. But it's a valuable piece of the puzzle if you have question marks on a guy and if you have some red flags on a guy. Bryce Petty, the quarterback of Baylor, talked about it yesterday a lot. You know, he knows, and everybody else knows, that he played in an offense that is not perceived as being pro-style. So he gets here. This will be a chance to play in a game that is a little more NFL-ish, if you will. So that is obvious at the quarterback position, and it filters down to the rest of these guys. For many of them that played in different schemes or didn't play against great competition, you know, if you're a defensive tackle, you don't want to go out here and get manhandled in this game against guys who are also being drafted if you haven't played against anybody like that. Because then that's all the scouts are going to talk about for the next 3 months, and they're probably right. So Phil Savage made a good point. A lot of agents try to keep their guys out of this game. And his approach and his sales pitch, if you will, is, look, if you weren't ready for the NFL and you come to the Senior Bowl, you're probably going to get exposed. But if you were going to get drafted anyway, you're probably going to do well here. So makes a lot of sense. Logic like that doesn't always follow in players' decisions when they're leading up to the draft.
So here is day one practice, the Senior Bowl, and Gus Bradley and his staff. It's interesting how quickly this process comes together, right? So Gus is trying to hire an offensive coordinator, and at the same time, he's trying to get a feel for these guys on the run in 1 week's time. And we'll go back to something that Savage said yesterday. This is their chance to be a pro.
Right.
And something that Gus Bradley said in the team meeting last night, which, by the way, you can see on Jaguars.com. It is exclusive, but you can see him saying, that's how we're approaching this. This is just
right.
Like a week in the NFL.
And I talked to Gus for a while about this last night. Obviously, the coordinator position is a key hire for him, and he needs to get that done, and he spent countless hours doing it. At the same time, I asked him, I said, you're here, though, for this bunch of guys. and this is their only shot. And it's clear that he takes a great deal of responsibility and considers it very important to make sure that these guys get the best opportunity they possibly can. So I guess what I'm getting at there is, for Gus, they've coached this game before, and they're going to go on and have NFL careers. But these players only get one shot to start their pre-draft process, and there's no question that Gus wants to make sure the staff and the Jaguars give these guys as good of an experience as they possibly can, and you can tell it's important to him, which wouldn't surprise you if you know Gus.
And Gus and his team right now, as you can see, are working with these guys. First opportunity, they had them in the meeting room last night. They had them in their offensive and defensive meeting rooms this afternoon. And so there's a guy, you can see him, Bob Babich, mm-hmm. who is out there working with the defense for the very first time. And something that you don't get the opportunity to do is to jump right into the middle of
right.
this coaching session. And we're going to do that right now. He is mic'd up live and here exclusively to Jaguars.com. is Jaguars defensive coordinator Bob Babich getting used to his new defense.
Okay, let's go to Detroit. Come on over on the other side. Yep. There you go. Same thing. Safety over here. Over three. Over three. Close left. Okay, here we go. Yeah. Okay, everybody good? Okay, Aaron, put on your red. Okay, now we got 11 personnel over three. 11 personnel.
Close up, close up, close up.
Okay, everybody got it? Okay, go ahead out. Right there. Over three still. Okay, everybody got it? Coaches, everybody good? Okay, come on back in here. Aaron, go back to the backfield, other side. Under one wide. Under one wide. Okay, everybody got it? Go out. Got it? Okay, everybody good? Come on back over here on the other side. Under one wide. Okay, under one wide. Okay, everybody good. Okay, Aaron, put the orange on. Go right here. Go right here. Okay, under one wide. 12 personnel. Good job. Okay, everybody got it? Okay. Everybody good. Coaches, we good? Okay, Aaron, come over here. Go on the other side, Brandon. Okay, under one wide. Okay, excellent. Okay, good work, man. Okay, you go head out, Aaron. Okay, there you go. Under one wide. Here we go. Under one wide. Right there. There's your guy right there. He's right there. He's right there. Right there. Okay, everybody got it? Okay, coaches. All right. Nickel. All right, nickel. We're going to 11 personnel. Nickel. Over one wide. Nickel over one wide.
All right, there's Bob Babich working with the defense. We'll have more of him exclusively here on Jaguars.com. Just took a moment while we were sitting here to get caught up, and the word out of Baltimore is they have hired Mark Trestman, the former Chicago Bear head coach, Oakland Raiders offensive coordinator. Guy's been around for a long time. He is the new Baltimore offensive coordinator. So does that set up an Adam Gase to Jacksonville situation?
Well, the very expensive game of musical chairs continues, right? I mean, and that's, it certainly raises the possibility more. But it, as you said, the word is he's also looking at the Bears. So, I mean, you know, if he's smart, I'm sure he wants to look at everything too. So it makes one more chair gone, but I don't know that we know that that makes it any closer. And I don't get the idea that it's necessarily that the Jaguars think this is imminent happening today.
So for those people who are joining us who might not get the connection, John Fox with Chicago.
Sure.
And was in Denver where Adam Gase came from. So there's a natural correlation there.
Yeah.
To
and
see if that one potentially fits.
And as much as Adam, you know, Adam Gase is a rising hot young coordinator, obviously. And the thing that people always say is, well, he worked with Peyton Manning. Who wouldn't work well with Peyton Manning? So that's the pro and the con. But again, everything you hear about Adam Gase is that A, Peyton had a lot of respect for him. That doesn't always happen with every coordinator that Peyton works with. He has a very high standard on those lines. So everything you hear about Adam Gase, I talked to Jerry Sullivan, Jaguars wide receivers coach today, who is very close with Adam Gase, worked with him in San Francisco when Adam Gase was first starting. Jerry has no idea what's going to happen with the position, but he says Adam Gase is a very, very good coach, would be a very good hire if that happens. And again, he doesn't know what's going
to
happen.
Talk a little bit about the Jaguars relative to this Senior Bowl exercise and where they'll look for some talent and perhaps find some. And let's start on the defensive side of the ball, where obviously the linebacking core is in need of more talent.
Mm-hmm.
You love what you got with Telvin Smith, and the hope is that Paul Posluszny is completely healed and able to plug back in there at Mike. But, you know, last year they spent money on Dakota Watson at the auto linebacker. That didn't pan out. He finished his season in Dallas, right? And you've got Leroy Reynolds, who's a guy that, you know, maybe better suited to playing in a much more limited role and
mm-hmm.
playing more on special teams. But you're looking for linebackers for depth and for that auto mm-hmm. position. And there are some guys here at
well,
this particular.
People say the top linebacker prospect in the game, Denzel Perryman, inside linebacker from Miami. I don't know that they're necessarily looking to draft an inside linebacker that high because they feel good about what they have with Paz. I would guess if they go linebacker in this draft, you would see it a third and fourth round, speed guy. The caveat to that is if you get a pass rusher who fits an auto-type position, if you get a special guy, maybe he slides out and plays the auto. So much of it remains to be seen. I think the first step is free agency, seeing what they get there, and then you can sort of follow and say, okay, what are they going to do in the draft to add depth behind what they get in free agency?
And you also mentioned the defensive backfield, and you know you like where they are at corner all of a sudden
mm-hmm.
with the emergence of Aaron Colvin late in the season.
Absolutely.
And with what Demetrius McCray gives you, and they still hold out that they're going to get something, you know, long term. Why can't I think of the other star? Because I haven't done it in 2 weeks.
Dwayne Gratz.
Yeah, Dwayne Gratz.
Right. Okay, right.
You know, that they're going to get something from Gratzy there.
Well, and again, I think that's a position, much like a lot of positions on this team, you feel good about what you've got there. At the same time, if a guy falls to them in the second round that they side quarterback, they do this, where they are going to turn down or pass up on what you would think of as an impact guy. Aaron Colvin, very good. Demetrius McCray has shown that he has a chance to be very good. Gratz gives them some depth. But if you got an elite guy who's a difference maker there's nothing wrong with having better players than you already have. So I don't know that there's any position on the roster. Wide receiver sort of fits that. I'd be surprised if they go left tackle early. But there's very few positions that would be an absolute shock for them to go if they think that player is an impact, you know, bona fide superstar, 10-time Pro Bowler guy. They don't have many of those, Brian. I don't know if you saw them play, but they don't have many of those guys yet.
The last couple
so
years.
I don't think you're going to pass up on a talented player with the possible exception of a couple of positions. But you mentioned also, let me pull up my notes here, cornerback. There's some good ones in this. Guy here, Sanquez Golson, Ole Miss, John Smith from Florida Atlantic, Kevin White from TCU. Those are some guys on the South team that, you know, second and third round, again, I don't know that they're looking for second and third round corners, but those are guys on the South team that people are talking about.
Another position on the defensive side that obviously needs some attention is free safety. And everything we say, you know, is through the filter of, well, we'll see what they do
sure.
when free agency opens. But clearly that's going to be a spot that I'm going to be looking at today, this week. You know, are there some guys with range who are aware, who make plays?
I'm gonna botch this first name, but Jakiski Tart from Samford is a strong safety. So again, I don't think that's what the Jaguars are gonna be looking for. He's a guy from Samford who is a big hitter that people like. obviously, anytime you're from a small school in this game, those are the guys people are really looking at to say, hey, can they play at this level? Can they play against this level of competition? Big week for him.
And we'll flip it over to the offensive side as we go through the course of the hour here on Jaguars.com Live. We'll jump in and out with Bob Babich, who is mic'd up, and Matt Miller will join us to talk about some of these guys very, very specifically. Beautiful day here, some clouds rolling in. We're expecting rain later in the week, so got to get as much work as they possibly can. And it just looks like chaos right now. You know, players trying to figure out the scheme.
Sure.
Coaches trying to figure out who goes where. Obviously, though, they've done it before. They know what's going on. Let's check in right now with Bob Babich and hear him as he works with his team. Mic'd up exclusively here on Jaguars.com.
Great job, guys. It's like fucking a freshman.
That's it. Good job. Denzel, how'd it go, man? How'd it go? You get lined up?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. We'll see. That's good job, man. Good job. Cody.
Hey, Cody, pull it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cody. Hey, be sharp now. Okay, just every time, just think about what you got to do. Think about you. Okay, what you got to do. You know, find, that was my fault. Find a tight end. You know, all that type of stuff. And when it's under one Y.
I got to get back used to worrying about just me.
Yeah, that's right, baby. Yeah, that's right, man. Neo, how'd it go?
You sure?
More with Bob Babich, mic'd up today here on Jaguars.com. We will periodically check in with him, Brian Sexton, along with senior writer John Osher. We're watching the players warm up right now, really anticipating getting to see the offensive and defensive linemen work against each other today.
And that's always an interesting thing about the Senior Bowl. Every Senior Bowl practice features a drill, or the first two or three of the week, feature a drill where it's basically one-on-one pass blocking. And if there's any drill where you all of a sudden start hearing guys get quote-unquote hot out of the Senior Bowl, it's usually that. It's the drill where scouts can truly see how a college player truly matches up against at least a guy who has a chance to be drafted. And it's a cool scene if we're still on. As soon as they break off into those groups, there are scouts and coaches fighting for position to get close to that drill. I remember the first Senior Bowl I covered was 96, and a guy named Daryl Gardner, who was out of Baylor at the time, came here and just dominated this drill.
Yep.
And sure enough, he was a
top pick.
You could see Jimmy Johnson watching him, and everybody just salivating about him. Sure enough, he goes maybe 15 or 16 in the draft that year. That's a story everybody sort of remembers, but it happens a lot, where if there is a guy in those drills who truly shines, they all of a sudden get hot, and that's where you can see a guy really improve his draft stock.
And there are big guys, and the Jaguars are looking for some, especially on the offensive line. You mentioned the young man from Pitt who
sure.
spoke to the media yesterday. Big guy. Mm-hmm. Big, broad-shouldered guy.
TJ Clemmings.
Yeah.
And moved from defensive end to offensive tackle I guess 2 years remaining in his college career. He kind of laughed. He said, I don't know where I'd be, but I know I wouldn't be here if I hadn't done that. So, again, all these stories are interesting here. He's a guy who everybody says could be a late first rounder, maybe early second. Do the Jaguars draft right tackle there? I don't know, but if they do, he could be a possibility.
You're looking at live coverage on Jaguars.com of Senior Bowl Practice 1. Day 2 here as the players and coaches gathered yesterday. Obviously, the game is coming up on Saturday. and they have such a limited amount of time. And we should note to folks that the rules are a little bit different for the Senior Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, blitzing. You know, they change up a lot of the things so that these, again, scouts,
right,
can
scouts
see
these
what
guys
they want to see.
One-on-one and in more NFL-type situations. And, you know, that's why it's neat, too, today. You do watch one-on-one pass coverage. And you do watch whether guys can do things in making plays on the ball and show the kind of, you know, hip movement, going up for the ball, fundamentally sound, the kind of things you want to see out of NFL receivers. This is a chance for them to see these guys up close and doing it against real NFL competition.
Getting word right now that some national media sites are reporting that the Jaguars have hired Greg Olsen as the offensive coordinator. And he was obviously one of the names we talked about, a guy who was in Jacksonville in 2012.
And so that makes it sound like our Adam Gase conversation is over. Yeah, that was the name that you had started hearing that was the possibility out of that Doug Marrone, Adam Gase, Greg Olsen. They were looking for some combination out of that. If these national reports are correct, then Greg Olsen would be the coordinator with Doug Marrone as the offensive line coach.
And people may remember that Olsen was in Jacksonville as the quarterback's coach in 2012 when Mike Mularkey was the head coach. They may not recall that the Jaguars had to offer him an assistant head coach title in order to lure him away from working in Tampa Bay.
A very respected guy who, sometimes this happens in coaching, when you look at Olsen's resume and his career, you get the idea, hasn't quite been able to land in a really good, healthy, long-term situation. He was with the Raiders. That blew up. He's with the Bucks. He was in Jacksonville during that one malarkey year where Shad had just come in. It was Gene Smith last year. A very difficult situation to succeed. You would sometimes coordinators need to get in a spot where the environment around them is right as well. So you hope for Greg's sake and the Jaguars' sake that that's what he's coming into now. I know talking to quarterbacks who worked with him, and coaches who have been around him, very well respected in terms of his ability to work with a young quarterback. Well, every Jaguars fan is going to say, why in the world would you want somebody who worked with Blaine Gabbert? Well, that didn't work. But there are many cases of coaches working with players. The player didn't work out. That mean the coach can't work out. I think the Greg Olsen working with Blake Bortles, he had a good season working with Derek Carr last year. He worked with Josh Freeman, the Buccaneers, and had a lot of success. No reason in the world why this wouldn't work with him working with Blake Bortles.
And that experience with Carr is one of the real reasons why his name was out there. He was not just mentioned in Jacksonville. I mean, his name was on a lot of lists.
And you sort of got the idea midway through last week. He interviewed with Jacksonville. And then all of a sudden he wasn't on the grid anymore in a lot of other places. So that sort of led you to believe that something was in the works there. And it was probably a matter of August saying, hey, let's see what's going on. This is a long process that needs to play out. So sometimes hiring a coordinator or a quarterback's coach, an offensive line coach, is not a cut and dry where you know exactly what position you have when you start talking to the man. Sometimes there are more interviews to be done. That was clearly the case with this, with Greg Olsen in Jacksonville.
So the news now is that Greg Olsen has been hired. That's what we're hearing as the offensive coordinator in Jacksonville, which puts that storyline to rest. And now, obviously,
Now, obviously,
the head coach can focus on this football experience for a lot of guys.
And I think he's looking forward to that.
All right. You're going to step aside for a couple of minutes?
I'm going to step aside and see if I can find some coaches.
And Matt Miller from Bleacher Report is going to join us and talk about some of these guys. Thanks, John. Senior Bowl coverage, practice day one. Here on Jaguars.com. And we're thrilled right now to be joined by Matt Miller from Bleacher Report. How are you?
Good. Winded.
You've been running all over the place,
A little bit,
Just came from the North practice.
Yeah, with the traffic jam on the way over. And, I mean, it's been an interesting day so far for sure.
Let's talk about the Jaguars a little bit in particular. As you look at them coming out of year one with Blake Bortles, do you see the quarterback in the way that a lot of people hope the quarterback is seen, as a guy that you can build around? Did you see Bortles as that guy?
We saw flashes of that for sure. I think at the end of the year, definitely. And that was what was important for me. You know, I think everyone knew this was kind of a redshirt year for him. So the development, I thought, throughout the year was good. There were some bad, definitely. And there's some areas where he's going to have to go back over the offseason, try to get better, trying to clean up some of the mechanical issues that came back this year, and then just speeding up the process of the game. But it's not just on Bortles. It's probably the youngest offense in the NFL.
Sure.
So it's harder for a young guy to stand out in a situation like that.
So as you look at the offense in particular now, they've got a new offensive line coach in Doug Marrone, who has a track record, to work with Luke Jokel, with Bowanko at center, obviously with the right guard, Brandon Linder, who played so well in the game here last year. Do you see this as being a crop of some offensive linemen that can step into that situation and be productive?
I do, you know, especially the tackle class this year. You know, guys like T.J. Clemmings at Pitt, who's down here, Ty Sambrello from Colorado State. I mean, those are the big name guys, Lyle Collins from LSU. So there is a lot of, I think, top-tier tackle talent, guys who can step in right away. You know, Collins, obviously, you know, probably going to be a top 10 pick in the first round. But there's a good amount of depth, too. So if you're looking at outside the top, guys who can come in and make a play.
Guys who can play either side?
I think so, yeah. Whether Jokel stays at left or moves to right tackle, I think there are guys who can play either side. Collins is going to be the one that, you know, obviously we're all focused on here because of his size, his production, the fact that he could play either side. So seeing how well those guys move, how athletic they are in space, that's really what the Senior Bowl is great for.
He might be the highest drafted player playing on either team, right?
He might be. He definitely is. I think he and Danny Shelton, the D tackle from Washington, are kind of in that running right now as guys who's going to stand out. You know, I just coming from the North practice, no one really stood out. There wasn't that big, you know, like Aaron Donald last year who just took over. So I think there's a good opportunity for Collins to make himself some money.
Phil Savage said yesterday that he thought there were 80 to 90 draftable players who are here this week. Do you see that number?
I do, yeah. And I think Phil does a great job of finding those guys who are draftable. Obviously, there are, you know, guys who are added who, you know, maybe don't look like, maybe he's not a seventh-round guy, but could still be a UDFA, a priority free agent who comes in and make a play. So if you want, like, a starting board for draft evaluation, you start with the kids who are here. You start with those declared underclassmen. Look at those guys, and you're going to have a pretty good list of the top, you know, 150, 160 guys who are going to get drafted.
Matt Miller, the draft guru at Bleacher Report, joins us here on Jaguars.com. We're watching right now as these guys, what an effort it is to get all these players, 110, from different universities and colleges and programs together with one coaching staff, and in the span of 5 days, make something productive for guys like you and for all the scouts here that they can see.
It's amazing, and I think it's a skill that these coaches have. You know, I talked to people who were at the Shrine game, and they were so frustrated because the practices weren't organized and they're not set up well for evaluation. They do a good job here, and Gus Bradley with his staff their second year, they do a good job of setting up the practice so that the players are taught and they're prepared for the game, but also to give evaluators a good look at what they're able to do. So it's amazing to me that, like you said, they're able to pull that off in such a short amount of time.
Offensive line is obviously an area the Jaguars will look. Linebacker is another one. And Denzel Perryman from Miami is the name that most people are talking about. Mm-hmm. First of all, what do you see his future in the NFL? Is he strictly a Mike backer?
I think he is strictly a Mike backer, yeah. You know, whether it's because of size, you know, he's a shorter guy. But I think his instincts, his speed, his burst, violence as the hitter, I think it definitely stands up best as a Mike linebacker. You know, we saw Chris Borland here last year. Not the biggest guy, but his instincts and his short area athleticism were so good that he was able to make plays as a rookie when he needed to.
Well, you know, we saw in Jacksonville a guy who wasn't very big in Telvin Smith.
Yes.
Really erupt. And at the end of the year in the game in Houston, there were two plays where he filled the gap, took on the blocker, shed the blocker, and then took on and stuffed Arian Foster in the hole. Oh, you're talking about one of the premier backs in the game. So obviously at 220 pounds, he's been able to show that kind of power. Whether he can do it every down or not obviously remains to be seen. But what did you think of him last year? And do you see a space in the game for a 220-pound linebacker?
I loved Telvin Smith last year, and it was funny because I talked to him before the Senior Bowl, and I said, you know, people are telling me that maybe you should play strong safety. And he said, you don't take the lion out of the jungle. You know, you're not taking a linebacker out
of the
jungle.
He's a great kid, yeah.
The athleticism, I think that's the new breed of linebacker, is that maybe not 220 pounds, but the athlete who could play out on the edge. You know, you're probably going to want to add a little bulk to him, but he can run like a safety. He can play in coverage. He can take on the run. He can rush the quarterback. So I think there's definitely a role for guys like that who are just super athletes. You're going to get on the field. There's going to be some bumps and bruises, some growing pains, but ultimately everyone wants that impact type athlete in space.
How about the safety spot? You know, the Jaguars feel real good about what they've got with Jonathan Cyprian, but they need to have that free safety, especially the way the game is played today.
Yes.
You've got to have an ultra productive player out there if your pass rush is going to have a chance to get to the quarterback.
You do, and that's not good news for this year's draft class, because the free safety class is lacking a little bit. Jerod Holloman came out of Louisville early after having 14 interceptions as a redshirt sophomore. When you look at the kids who were here, not a standout class, I don't think. You know, we were talking on the way over here, did any safeties make a play? You want Curtis Drummond from Michigan State to stand out. He really didn't on day one. So the free safety class, I think you're looking at Holloman as maybe a late first, early round two guy, but you're going to get that center fielder type production from him.
You're hearing Matt Miller from Bleacher Report joining us on Jaguars.com live at the first practice for the South team. What a gorgeous day, by the way. Yeah. I mean, you talk about setting the practice up so that guys get the most out of it. What amazing ideal conditions for these guys to get out and, you know, get back to football after a couple of weeks off.
A lot different than last year when it was freezing cold and windy. Yeah. It's different because I think different conditions give you a different evaluation. You know, last year, Derek Carr really showed off his arm strength and velocity in bad conditions. Now, you've got a beautiful day for quarterbacks. You can really see what they can do with their arm. And receivers, you're not going to have trouble tracking the ball today. So you really get to see what they can do in ideal conditions.
Let's go back to the offensive side for a minute. There are two spots in particular where the Jaguars need to upgrade or at least address. One is tight end. Mercedes mm-hmm. Lewis is a guy who can put his hand in the ground and move a guy off the spot or in pass protection. Good red zone guy, but they need that Julius Thomas kind of tough matchup guy. The one, you know, for years and years, Owen Daniel in Tennessee and Dallas Clark in Indianapolis was just a matchup problem. And third down, he was just a terror. He won games for those two teams against Jacksonville. Is there that kind of player here? Is there one in the draft that you like?
I think there could be a player here out of Miami, Clive Walford, an athlete. You know, you talk about Julius Thomas. He's another kid who played basketball, so he has that athleticism. He has that length, the explosive ability in space. Wasn't always productive at Miami, but that is that a product of that system, or is that him as a player? So this will be a good opportunity for him to show up and make himself some money, because the tight end class is not very good this year. Nick O'Leary at Florida State, kind of, you know, that H-back, maybe more like Dallas Clark. He's injured. He's not here. Jeff Howerman, Ohio State, very good athlete. He's going to draw some Travis Kelce comparisons probably. He's dealing with an injury. He's not here. So Walford's the guy who can really stand out for sure.
Another spot is running back. Jaguars put some money into Toby Gerhart. Injured his foot on opening day in Philadelphia. Really wasn't healthy the rest of the season. And when he was healthy, you know, he showed more of a screen game than the power game consistently. And then you've got Denard Robinson, who's still making the switch. Had a couple of 100-yard games back-to-back weeks. Your thoughts on those two guys and then the running back class this year?
Well, Gerhart, I was really expecting him to have a big year, you know, be the number one guy. So like you said, it'll be interesting to see how he's used next year, you know, with the new O-line coach with Doug Marrone. Are they going to be more of a power team? Denard Robinson really impressed me. I remember watching him here 2 years ago, kind of trying to play receiver and thinking, man, this kid's going to have a rough transition. But he's really wowed me with his patience, how hard he works. But when you look at the class here, I do think, yeah, running back's a need. David Cobb at Minnesota could be that power back, catches the ball well. He's explosive. Amir Abdullah, not the biggest kid out of Nebraska, but he runs with power, with burst, and he can catch the ball too. So if you're looking for more of that pro-style back, you can find one here.
Robinson's a guy, by the way, who Dave Caldwell said when we were over in London, he thinks that his ceiling is very, very high. Do you see him as a guy who's got a lot of upside?
I do, yeah, and I think his ceiling is kind of unknown, because it is, like you said, he's still making the transition, you know, he's still figuring it out athletically. I think he's surviving on instincts and athleticism right now. So as he starts to understand, you know, lanes better, you know, in college, you're looking for a hole. In the NFL, you're looking for a seam. So just understanding that difference. But I was impressed with how powerful he ran this year, especially to end the season. So I think he could be a special dynamic player.
What's your Twitter handle for people to follow?
At NFL Draft Scout. Super easy.
At NFL Draft Scout. I got a couple of Twitter questions. You ready for them?
Let's do it.
All right. This is, hey, Matt, what South team, Senior Bowl player, fits Gus Bradley's defensive scheme the best?
That is a good question. On the South team, since we just got here, and I haven't been taking a close look, it's tough to pick one guy out. But I think Cody Pruitt at safety could be a fit. You talk about someone who's athletic enough, can play free safety, but he can hit as well, can be kind of that center fielder. So he would be a guy that I would single out from what we've seen of Bradley's scheme that could be a good fit.
And so I can tell people that you'll probably tweet it out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Find one this week,
we'll tweet it out.
All right, here's another one. Hi, Matt. If Winston and L. Williams go 1-2, Leonard Williams, who do you think the Jags pick? Trade out or go defensive end?
Well, as the class looks right now, I think Randy Gregory from Nebraska has to be pretty intriguing there at three. You know, he could play that Leo pass rusher position really well. 6'6", 245, super explosive, has the length. So that's probably an ideal scenario. I think either Leonard Williams or Randy Gregory would be a very, very good fit with what Jacksonville's doing on defense.
And you just answered that. However, let me give you a different spin on this last question. Just in your opinion, what is the best case scenario for the Jags and why? Is trading out a good scenario for a young football team?
It depends on how far back you want to go. You know, if the Jets want to come up from six and get a quarterback, yeah, that's okay. But I think that the Jaguars are in the business right now of trying to add as much talent as they can to this roster. And, you know, being in the situation to have multiple high draft picks, you got to get an impact player this year. You know, Bortles is a little bit of a project. So I think this year you have to get a guy who can step in and make a day one impact, you know, like Khalil Mack made last year or like Aaron Donald made. So finding someone, whether it's Leonard Williams or Randy Gregory, who can be an impact guy, I lean more toward Williams at this point. Gregory's a little bit more of a project, but I think trading out could be kind of dangerous at times.
So what are you doing this week? What are you and your team at Bleacher Report getting done this week? And where can people go to find your work?
Yeah, we're doing just, you know, a lot of what the teams do. We're kind of set up the same way on the draft side, you know, so we're doing a lot of player evaluation. I have three guys here helping me scout, trying to get notes on all these guys that will turn into full reports later. We're doing a ton of video work after the practices, you know, who stood out, who are some impact guys who might be a fit for your favorite team. Obviously tweeting a lot and then doing a big write-up at the end of the week with kind of a full takeaway.
So. Same thing heading into the combine?
Same thing heading into the combine. We do the combine pretty big, actually. We'll take a whole video team down there and really try to break down each team. So it's more of a team focus as opposed to this being kind of a bigger national focus.
This is your time.
It is.
This is where everybody turns their eyes to what you're doing.
Yeah, draft season never really ends, but I think this is when the casual fan really starts to pay attention, you know. We know who's in the Super Bowl. 30 teams are focused on next year, so everyone, the Senior Bowl kind of kicks that off.
Just from my perspective, we're 100 days from the draft. From your perspective, not mine, how much do these guys, are they slotted by these teams already? I mean, are teams' boards pretty well set and guys can move a spot or two or maybe a dramatic rise around or two?
Well, I think teams have a tentative board at this point, or at least the teams that I am in contact with. You know, they had meetings a few weeks ago, and they start to put a ranking on these guys. But, you know, we just got the underclassmen deadline a few days ago, so I think everything's very fluid at this process. You don't want to put too much stock into this. I think we saw that last year. People were paralyzed by overanalysis. 90% of your grade is done on film. You know, the rest of this is if you've got two guys who are graded similarly at a position, you can use the practices to maybe move one over the other or the combine. But for me, this is about if I missed a guy on film and he stands out of practice, then I got to go home and see what I missed. So this is kind of a nice way to check yourself.
At NFL Draft Scout and the website?
BleacherReport.com.
Easy and simple. Thanks so much for taking the time.
You bet.
Hopefully catch up with you at the combine.
Sounds great. Have a good week.
That's Matt Miller from BleacherReport.com. We certainly appreciate that. John Osher will make his way back through here, and we'll continue with our live coverage of day one, practice one, of the South Squad with Gus Bradley and his team. We've already checked in with Bob Babbage twice, who is mic'd up. I'm sure we'll get to that again as we go through the course of our broadcast here. Thanks for joining us. Gus Bradley and his team putting the guys through the motions right now. Let's just give you an opportunity, unencumbered by me, to watch. All right, so there's sights and sounds of Senior Bowl Day 1 as Gus Bradley and his team go through the course of the afternoon. We're just about wrapping it up here. When the next period begins, we'll go exclusively to Bob Babbage, which, folks, just so you know, the mic'd up period pieces that you see here on Jaguars.com involve a lot of work and a lot of trust on the part of the coaching staff to give us that access. To be able to go live like this with Bob on the practice field is a real special treat, and we certainly hope that you enjoy what you see and hear with Bob Babbage as we wrap it up. News of the day, the Jaguars make two hires. We're hearing, although we have not heard officially, that Greg Olsen, the one-time quarterback coach who has been in Oakland the last 2 years, will be the Jaguars offensive coordinator, and Doug Marrone, who has been with the Saints and the Jets, most recently the head coach of the Bills, is going to be the assistant head coach, and he'll run the offensive line efforts up front. That's news. We will be live tomorrow. We will be here in Mobile with all the coverage of Senior Bowl 2015 as Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell look to get a big jump on the offseason and into the personnel evaluation in the third year of their build of the Jaguars roster. So for John Osher, for Patrick Cavanaugh, and Dave DeCandis, I'd like to thank Matt Miller from Bleacher Report for joining us and hope you enjoy the rest of our coverage here with Bob Babbage, mic'd up and live on Jaguars.com.
Over there, linebackers right there. D-line all the way down. Here we go, man. Come on, come on, come on. Here we go now. Being sharp, man. Catch everything now. Catch everything. That's a bad throw. Don't jump unless you have to. There you go. Good job. That's it. That's it. Good job. Don't jump unless you have. It's a good job. There you go.
All right, here we go. Breaking to our, to your left. To your left. Let go. Break.
There you go. Good. Just run through it now. Run through the ball.
Step, go. Break.
Catch it. Now run. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Run. Step, pick go. The ball up, too, when you break. Drop it. There you go.
Right, here we go. Setting up right here. We've got our tempo drill. All right? We've got our tempo drill. Following me. Remember what we talked about. All right? Remember what we talked about? Staying on the inside hit. So if we're demonstrating for them, be the runner. All right? I'm staying on that near hit.
That's it, Denzel. Slow her down now. Slow her down. There you go. There you go. That's a good job. That's a good job. That's it. There you go. Good job. Good job. Here we go now. That's it. That's it. Good. That's better. Much better. There you go. That's a lot better. First time you just ran, you were just running. That was a lot better, man. That's a good job. Come on, Janiel. There you go. Good. Good work. Good work. There you go. Come on now. Let's go, baby. Every rep, man. Every rep. Ooh, I hear you, man. Let's go, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Come on now.
Two in a row. Don't cheat the drill. Set. Go. Great. There you go. Two up. Let's go.
Hey, eyes on the ball. Eyes on the quarterback now. 99-9. Come on, man. Catch the ball now. Nice. Oh, catch it now. Catch it. Okay. Quick feet now. Quick feet. And then see your movement now. Break on him. Clean feet. Clean feet. That's it. Boom. Set up. There you go. Hey, quick feet now. Quick feet now. That's it. Boom. Now take off. Denzel, take off, man. You want to get as deep as you can get, okay? Here we go now. Here we go. Clean feet now. Boom. See it burst. Burst. Set up. There you go. Burst now. Burst. Burst. Set up. Rob, you're going to run into the... Hey, Coach. Now, that's the stuff I did, like, you know, so guys could see the drops and
sure.
Like that.
I mean, just footwork.
Yeah.
Know.
Yeah. And
like
that's what, yeah.
Thing, but let them see their agility.
Yeah. That's right. And hands. Like, everybody always wants to see their hands.
Maybe these are your rules.
Yeah. No, they aren't. Believe me. There you go. Clean feet now. Shuffle now. Bend your knees. Here we go, Nick. There you go. Hey, Nick. Nick, do you got some good hands?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I was asking. I was asking. Oh, Rudy, where are they running their drills? Yeah, I mean, what are they doing? Hey, yeah. Yeah. Hey, are you guys staying over here? Hey, Coach Selfo. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Rudy, the other way. You're running on there.
we need to make sure the guys, man, it's so fucked up. You know, stay in your, look, Robert's got, he's supposed to go to the 20 only. Oh, catch it now. There you go. Come on, man. Drive clean feet now. There you go. Stick it. Don't jump. Come on. Stick it. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa. Catch it now. I got it. There you go. Come on. Come on now. Too many balls on the ground. Here we go. We can't have this here. Yeah, I know. But, they, you know, they he's... There you go. Right to the hip now. Right to the hip. Where he's at, not where he's going to be. Okay, then you could always adjust. That's better. There you go. That's it, big boy. That's better, man. Hey, Robert, are you done with these?
No, I'm going to use them.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, there. You can move them back. To 20.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to go third. That'll all be off.
I can go right there, right?
Yeah, we're going to go. No, we're supposed to be on the 40, but we'll go on the 30.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, we could move down as far as, because yeah, I mean, Todd's going to the other side.
Yeah, you know we'll go all the way down to 10 if you want.
If we had to. That's right. There you go. Come on, man. Drive your feet now. There you go. Drive your feet. Same shoulder, same leg. Same shoulder. There you go. That's it. Same shoulder, same leg. There you go. Same shoulder, same leg. Put the arms together. You're in one here, one here. That can break it. Can break it. Yep, that's right. Okay. There you go. Oh, nice. Nice. There you go. Same shoulder, same leg. Nick, your footwork will come. Okay, D-Walk, you got 6 minutes left.
Okay, guys, four to save. Just split them up. Left and right, left and right. Left and right. Four guys out. Go ahead, please.
You want to walk him through? Yeah, were you going to throw?
Yeah.
I'll throw. I got this, D-Wop. I'm throwing the ball now. You want to walk him through it, D-Wop? Okay. Who am I throwing to? Okay. 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 Here, Casey, you give me a ball, right? What's he going to do now?
Okay. So you're going to step for his place, open up. I'm going to say downhill, break down to the comeback, Coach Thornton.
Okay, comeback. Okay. Better break now. Hey, don't jump unless you have to. Don't jump unless you have to. Gotcha. Okay. Clean or break. Now, clean feet. Now, everything. Clean feet. Clean feet. I bet y'all can't get him. Damn, those are darts. Shit. There you go. Good. Hey, when you come out there, just like you're running sideways, okay? Running sideways. Okay, let's see what you got, Nick. I'm telling you, man, that shit's on now. These guys can't throw it harder than that. Is he going to break straight downhill or at me? Towards me. Okay. Balance up now. Set up. Okay, now dig. Okay. I'm still throwing.
Yeah.
Yep. Open up. Good catch. I'm telling you, man. I don't know if you could throw it like that, Nick. Now, set up. There you go. Good. That's it. Come on now. Dig. Nick, now, come on now. That shit was right now. There you go. Good. Good. That was a lot better. Your drop was a lot better. A lot smoother. Man, that was good now. That's good. Now, on your buzz drops. Flatter. Dig. Flat. Dig. Squaring, okay? Hey, now listen. You two that were down there, okay? Your drop's just a little smoother. I'm just running, just like I'm running forward. You know what I mean? It's a little mechanical because you're not exactly sure what you're doing, but you get it, okay? Here you go, Rudy. Here you go. You got 1 minute, Rudy. Hey, Tyler, you got that whistle? Okay, that'd be good. Okay, we're going to get ready. We got to hustle off, Robert. Sling bait cans are coming off in just a minute. Come on, here we go. Let's see your footwork now. Let's see your footwork. Boom. Come out. There you go. Bam. Eyes on the court. There you go. That's the idea. Okay. Hurry up now. Let's see your footwork. Bam. Come out. Stick it. Bam. There you go. Okay. Here we go now. We're up right here. Pass rush right here. Okay. 20 yards.